Well, today we're going to continue our sermon series called Happier. And we've been in this conversation around happiness because so often you and I, we look for happiness in our money, our possessions, and our relationships. And what we know is that those things will make us happy for a time, but we really want to be happier. The way that God has created us to be happy, the way that God invites us to be happy. And so if you've missed any of these messages, I invite you to check those out online. We have them on our website, or you can go to YouTube or a podcast. You can find those there. And next week, we're actually going to be talking about that you are happier when you celebrate others. And we're going to be looking at this maybe important distinction between happiness and joy, and if there really is one or not. And so I invite you next week to come and check that out. And today, we're going to be looking at maybe one of the most important aspects of our happiness, and that's this, that you are happier when you don't sweat the small stuff. And so I want to look at a passage of scripture from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1. And these are the words of Jesus. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. One of the things I really enjoy about my job is doing premarital counseling. And I love when I meet with couples. I use this assessment called SIMBUS, which is saving your marriage before it starts. And this is a little questionnaire that the couples will take before they meet with me. And they take it individually, and then it'll compile this 20-page report that we'll then use that to go through together. And I love it because couples are always really nervous when they first come in. They're like, okay, what does it say? And I love this in the very first session that we do. It kind of goes through the overview, you know, kind of what kind of family you came from, and, you know, how old are you, what's your occupation, what's your church background, and then it'll give you a little overview of your well-being. And at the end of that, there's this box that's all about stressors. And what's so interesting about this is one of those boxes that's filled with things that they select on their own. So basically, when they're taking this questionnaire, they have an opportunity to answer questions, you know, what is something that's stressing you out right now? And so they can check whatever it might be. It could be money, it could be their job, it could be whatever they want. But inevitably, almost every time in this little box, it says partner's annoying habits. And what's so interesting is this is my very first session with them. So I'm going through this overview, and then we get to this box, and I say, well, I see you both put your partner's annoying habits as something that's stressing you out. Would you like to tell me a little bit about that? What is it that's annoying you about your partner? And which is great, because at first I would shy away from this a little bit. I'm like, hey, we're kind of just getting to know each other a little bit. I know you're nervous about this assessment. Let's go really deep, right? You know, instead of saving it for session three, we're talking about conflict. I'm like, here we go. Let's just jump in. What annoys you about each other, right? And inevitably, people say things like, okay, they squeeze the toothpaste from the middle. You know, they're always leaving their clothes on the floor. Or, you know, they put the toilet paper on the wrong way because there's a right way to put the toilet paper on the roll. You know, they leave the seat up. They're always running late. I mean, whatever it might be, all these kind of things come up. I think we have some that we know of, right? So, I mean, this is we could probably think of all kinds of little annoying habits. But whenever I talk with them, I always look for this, because oftentimes these are the things that we love about the other person at first. These are the little things that we love, the little things they do. They're so funny. They're so cute. Oh, it's just a little thing they do. But after a while, it just annoys us, right? It's just like, you keep doing that. You're not going to get over that. Apparently, you never learned. And I mean, if you know, not even if you've been in a relationship, but if you've known someone for any amount of time, it could be a friend, family member, whatever, we all have these little annoying things. And what I love is when I talk about these couples, that's what I look for, is to see, do they really see them as annoyances? Or is this kind of just a funny little quirk that they've noticed in somebody they've spent some time with? Because the thing that I look for is that if we can see in ourselves that we all have these little particularities that we have that, well, do make us interesting, and also annoying. If we know this about each other, then we're more likely to have grace for each other and see that in everyone else. And that's what I see as Jesus is giving this teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is Jesus' opening sermon in which he begins his ministry, and really he touches on all aspects of life and what it is to follow him as a disciple. In which Jesus very much is like Moses in saying, this is what it's like to live in faithfulness to God. And so Jesus gets to this part about judging other people. Because Jesus knows this about us, is that so often you and I that we're quick to judge, quick to look down on, quick to find fault with the people around us and with each other. But oftentimes we're really slow to look at ourselves, if we ever do. And so he gives this warning. It really is a warning. He says, don't judge, or you will be judged. And he goes on, in the same measure that you judge other people, you too will be judged. In other words, that same manner as we look at each other, and that the same ways that we think about each other, that's going to be visited back onto us. That the tables are turned, that there will be others who are looking on us in the same way. It really is this warning that he's offering to us. Because Jesus knows that this is actually a thief of happiness. A thief of joy. That when we judge, that oftentimes we think it's about other people. That they're the ones that are being annoying. They're the ones that need the change. They're the ones that should do things differently. But really what it does is it robs our joy and our happiness. Then when we judge, it really is first about us. Because when we're judging, we're bringing on all of our critical look at other people. We're bringing our opinions and our thoughts and how we think that they should do things, and all of our emotions, oftentimes with little evidence. So this is how it kind of works, is when we see a person who, you know, they're kind of leaving their clothes everywhere, and we think that they're doing it on purpose. That's what we move to. That's what we think. You know, why do they keep doing that? Or maybe when they're running late, we always think, you know, why can't they just leave earlier so that they're always on time? That we ascribe some sort of intentionality and purpose as to why they're doing the things that they do. And we find ourselves doing this over and over and over. And I like to think about this in terms of kind of the judgment spiral. That when we find something that kind of gets annoying, and then pretty soon we just keep seeing it over and over and over. And then pretty soon other things we begin to pick up on and we begin to notice. And we do this over and over and over until all we see are the critical things. All we see are these annoying things. All we see are these things that once began as annoyances are now become full-blown judgments upon the people that we know and love the most. Kind of a judgment spiral. And you know you're there if you've ever had the thought of, I could really help them out if only they would listen to me. You know, I really have the answer to this if only they would listen to me. We know that we're kind of caught in this spiral. And you know, I think about it in terms of this illustration. Now, I got this illustration from the book How Happiness Happens by Max Lucado. And in that book, he talks about that our happiness can be represented by these ping pong balls. That when we find ourselves in this place where other people are annoying us, that's like we take our happiness and pretty soon we're kind of, you know, tossing it to other people, you know, and saying, you know, all they do is annoy me. You know, that guy at work, oh, he has a mustache now. Man, that's really annoying. You know, we kind of just toss our happiness to other people. You know, young people these days, you know. Oh, old people these days. You know, we just kind of begin to toss our happiness to other people, and it's all about them all of a sudden and how they react in our happiness. Oh, they did this again. Oh, there you go. You got another one for you there. And then pretty soon we have less happiness than we started with because we keep giving it away. We keep hoping that other people will make us happy, that they'll kind of quit doing those things that are just so annoying. And if only everyone would listen to us, it would just make everything better. And then our happiness is gone. And our jar is a little less empty than it when we started. But Jesus actually tells us how we get our happiness back and how we can really stop tossing our happiness to everyone around us. And he says it in this way, and Jesus has a great sense of humor, by the way. So as you're reading through a lot of these teachings, that I hope you pick up on just the humor that Jesus has, because as Jesus brings this really strong teaching in which he says, don't judge, because in the manner in which you judge, you too will be judged. But I can see him with a little smile on his face when he's saying, you know, it's kind of like you look around at other people and they have this little speck of sawdust in their eye. But you yourself, you have this monster plank in your eye. You have this like 2x4 that's sticking out. So every time you go to judge, we're all just ducking as you're looking around, looking at everyone else. He says, don't you realize that's what it's like when you're judging other people? We're all just kind of getting out of your way. But then he shares this. He says, here's how you remove it. And you know, there's even instances in which we do need to offer critique and we need to offer opinions. And well, frankly, people are doing annoying things and they should change. But here's how he says that you and I need to do it. First, we need to take that 2x4 plank out of our own eye. Because then he says, you catch this? Then you will see clearly. It's when we remove this from our eye that then you and I will see clear enough to really offer appropriate judgments to other people, to offer our opinions, to offer our perspectives, to offer our thoughts. So how do we do this? Well, I think the only way for us to really change is to change our actions. That's the way that you and I are going to remove this plank out of our eye. We have to change how we act towards each other. Now, in her book, The How of Happiness, Sonia Lomirsky shares this through her scientific research. She says this is how you and I are happy through her research. She says that 50% of us have a genetic disposition towards happiness. So we're kind of predisposed to be happy. So maybe we wake up and our jars are much more full than other people's jars, right? We just always tend to wake up on the right side of the bed and we're just naturally happy. And, you know, maybe 50% of us, you know, we kind of wake up and we just need a little bit of work, okay, before we get happy. So that's just about genetics. And she finds that only 10% involves our circumstances. So these are the things that normally we would pursue and our culture pursues to be happy. So we're talking our salary, our relationships, avoiding hardships, and only 10% of that actually influences our happiness. And some other incredible studies, it really shows that within a year that oftentimes people who experience tragedy and those who experience even winning the lottery in some studies, that they go back within a year to the same level of happiness that they had before. Only 10% of our happiness is based on circumstances. But she finds that 40% of our happiness is related to our own thoughts and actions. How we view our circumstances, how we view each other, and how we act in regards to that. So how we see each other and how we act towards each other, that's really the things that make us happy. So even if you look at this and you'd say, well, I know that he's not disposed towards happiness, right? But you can do something about it, even if you're just not naturally joyful. And Father Richard Rohr, who's the director of the Center for Action and Contemplation, he has this observation. He says this is what their Center for Happiness is all about. And he's 72 years old, and he says this is what their center is all about, that he's beginning to see this, and all of their curriculum, all their social engagement is around this idea that we do not think ourselves into new ways of living, but we live ourselves into new ways of thinking. The only way we change is that we begin to live this out. And that's how we change and how we'll discover happiness. And Paul actually gives us a way that we do this in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Paul is writing to this church in Ephesus, but this is a letter that was meant for all the Christians, that they were meant to share it, to circulate it. And Paul is writing from prison. So one of those, 10% circumstances that we would say that none of us would ever want to be in, and I hope that we would never be in, a circumstance in which Paul would, we would probably guess, would be unhappy. He's writing to them, and he's saying, this is how you ought to live towards each other, because this is how you will really find happiness with each other. This is how you will all get along. This is how you really will love each other the way Jesus intends. And this is what he says, starting in verse 1. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So Paul's told us how we ought to do this. How it is that you and I don't sweat the small stuff. And the first one is this, is he says, live a life worthy of your calling. In other words, Paul is saying that you and I, that we are people who have received grace, that Jesus has extended grace to us. It was a free gift. There wasn't anything we could do to earn it, but Jesus gives it out freely to us, unconditionally, unimaginably, free grace. And then that should define our life more than anything else. And so when we go to interact with other people, that should be our first interaction with them, is to extend that same grace that we have received to other people. That's the first way in which we live our lives worthy of that calling, that we offer grace to each other. The second one is this, to be humble and gentle. Then we have that moment where we want to reach for that speck in someone else's eye, that we do this with humility and with gentleness, knowing that we too have a big 2x4 in our own eye. The third one is this, is he's saying, be patient with each other. Be patient. Give lots of leeway. And I think about this, is that patience is assuming that everyone else that we encounter is just doing their best. So when that person cuts us off in traffic and drives like they live in Dallas, that we all just assume, you know what, I bet they have somewhere they really have to get to. I bet that they're in a hurry too. We're just always assuming the best for everyone that we encounter, everyone we meet, that everyone's just doing their best out there. And finally, this one, and I like this one. So make every effort to keep the unity. So all that energy that we put towards, being annoyed and finding those annoying habits in each other, that we put all that energy to making every effort. And when we do that, that one puts all the energy back on us. That you and I should make every effort that we possibly can to keep the unity and the bond of peace. That's what we should do. Because when we do that with each other, not only does it fill our jar, but it fills another person's jar. So when we act with grace towards somebody else, God is filling our jar. And when we act in a graceful way, we fill their jar. When we act in peace, not only does it make us happy, but it makes them happy. When we give, because we know that we're happier when we give, not only does it make us happier, but it makes them happier. When we go to give an encouraging word, it makes us happier and it makes them happier. And in that way, we fill not only our jars, but we fill the jars of other people, that we are happier when we create happiness for other people. So imagine just for a moment with me, instead of looking to each other and finding all these annoying habits and these particular things that we all do, and maybe even these move towards judgments that we all have, and maybe even we judge people that we don't know, we don't know their stories, we just know that we disagree with them, that we're divided from them, that they look different than us, they have a different life than us. Imagine for just a moment that our thought, our posture, our action is to say, I want to fill their jar. Because you and I know, if we move to fill their jar, it's going to change our own thoughts and actions, and that we're going to be happier because of it. that we'll move to this place where we no longer see all the things that are wrong, all the ways in which we disagree, all those judgments that, and really it's going to remove that plank from our eye when we do it. All we have to do is say, you know what, I'm going to move towards creating happiness for them. I'm going to act in peace. I'm going to live worthy of the calling that I've received. I'm going to be humble and gentle. I'm going to make every effort I can to have unity and show them the love of Christ. Imagine just a moment what that would look like in our relationships with our spouse, with our children, our grandchildren, our coworkers, how we respond to each other online. Imagine what that would look like. Because I think that's really the secret to how you and I live happier, by not sweating the small stuff. Because there may be times that you and I need to have judgments. There may be times that we need to have difficult conversations. There may be times where we need to address things head on, but we've learned to let all the other stuff go. So we can put all of our energy on the things that truly do matter and are worthy of our attention. If we focus on filling other people's buckets, I really think that you and I will be happier. And that we really will be able to see clearly. Removing that plank from our eye, we can see the world the way that Jesus sees the world. And that we will be happier with God, knowing that we're happier when we don't sweat the small stuff. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that you offer us grace upon grace upon grace. Grace that is a gift towards us. A gift that comes to us before we even ask for it. A gift that you invite us to respond to. And so, Lord, I pray that we respond to the gift that you've given us by extending that grace to other people. And that, Lord, when we find those times where we feel annoyed, Lord, in those times where we feel wronged, maybe even those times where we feel hurt, Lord, may we give it to you first. And Lord, in those times where we can act in a way worthy of your calling, where we can act with humbleness and gentleness, where we can be patient, where we can make every effort towards unity, that, Lord, we know that your grace and your truth, your love, your joy will meet us there. So, Lord, I pray today that no matter who we are, what kind of spiritual journey we're on, no matter what relationship with you is like, that we know, Lord, that you are offering us grace. And may that grace lead us to the true happiness that you're offering to us, a happiness that we get to live towards others so that they may know the true happiness that you are offering to them. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.